You are about to experience Vegas Bad Boys of podcasting. Fortunately, you are about to hear lots of opinions, but rarely any facts. Impersonations might occur, but good luck trying to figure them out. This program is not intended for kids or the easily offended. Listener discretion is advised. You have been warned. You press play. It's too late to stop. Get ready to podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm DJ Impact, and I got the Vegas Bad Boys here with me. I want to welcome everyone for hanging out with us on our three count. First thing I want to do is just give a shout out to just one of our listeners, Jade, who gave us a sponsorship for our promo that we've been working on Cash App, and we appreciate that. You can do the same. Just go to your Cash App, put in Vegas Bad Boys, and that's it, with a Z. Vegas Bad Boys, and just put in whatever amount you want to put in. That money is just helping us help promote and make Vegas Bad Boys more worldwide, as what Titus would say, right? Worldwide, you know. So if you can help us do that, we'll definitely appreciate it. And again, shout out to Jade for doing that. We appreciate it. All right. Fellas, we got three good stories, and you know, I don't know where's our Matt Michaels at. Matt Michaels has disappeared.
No, either.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll just keep going here.
He sent himself to the Shadow Realm.
I know. you know what? I'm sure there would be some listeners that would go, "Oh, great, Matt Michaels has disappeared. Perfect. It's going to be a good show now."
No, doubt that.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, let's get started. I'm sure he could jump right in and be ready.
It's time.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting present.
1, 2, 3.
Count Talk.
Count Talk, baby.
RingsideNews.com. It is titled, Television Executives Allegedly Don't Want Pro Wrestling. And the story goes like this. It says that pro wrestling could come with a stigma attached to it sometimes, and that is evident in how it is treated, especially when it comes to television. Now, Freddie Prinze Jr. knows a thing or two about television and WWE. Not only has he been a part of many productions as a leading actor, but he has also wrote for WWE as well. This prompted him to drop some knowledge on fans about how pro wrestling is perceived. Saying, if you know how bad most TV execs did not want... let me start over. If you knew how bad most TV execs did not want professional wrestling on their channels, you'll respect the hell out of WWE, NXT, and AEW for pulling off what they do each week. They literally have every card in the deck stacked against them, and they're still growing the business. And this is why cats like Triple H doing interviews and Cody being on the other TNT programming is so important. They help normalize the business because they just get it. They come off chill and solid. Hope they both continue to stay out in the public eye. It's more important now than ever. All right. I'll go with you, Sin City Steve. It's interesting reading this. Are you shocked to have heard that television executives are actually they're not really big fans of pro wrestling? It just seems shocked to kind of hear that, despite the money we know that pro wrestling brings in.
I'm not shocked at all.
Okay,
For the longest time, and to this day, there are those people that are complete outsiders to the business. That whenever you mention anything about pro wrestling, they just automatically get this this preconceived notion in their head of uneducated fans and various stereotypes, and it's pretty much disgusting. And yeah. Dare I say that a lot of those same people that have that same belief tend to prescribe to, you know, a certain beliefs about how those programs should air, or if they should even be on TV. So it's one of those things where, given my upbringing, given the fact that where I'm originally from, I can definitely agree that that is a predominant stereotype. That pro wrestling is a, and some people will say it, so I'm just going to be upfront about it. Mm-hmm. There are those people that think that professional wrestling is a white trash soap opera.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, that's the negative connotation that it has by, various people around this country and in this world. WWE has, they've done great things to progress the way that certain people view the business. But at the end of the day, a lot of people still think that it's uneducated rednecks in a rec center, just putting each other to, through barbed wire and, hitting each other over the head with chairs and, being an outlaw mud show.
Right.
As Cornette would say. And
yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things that, the wrestling business definitely still gets that bad rap, and it still has that stigma attached to it.
Yeah.
But I think that especially in, I'd say, the last 10 years, with the fact of the matter is that there is more diversity being shown in not just wrestling fans, but also finally we're seeing more diversity on the on-screen product itself. So that is helping to shatter some of those prejudices and some of those preconceived notions that people are having about pro wrestling and pro wrestling fans.
Yeah. So Simon Street, I mean, do you think now, with so much wrestling being available on all of these different networks, do you think the attitude of these execs are slowly changing to a more positive, idea of just liking of now seeing wrestling as being something that they should now not think of being negative anymore? Or do you think they still would continue to have the same mindset as they have before?
Well, I would sure hell hope that they're kind of doing their due diligence and seeing obviously numbers of, said wrestling companies in the past 10 years, mm-hmm. and seeing that how it can be very a smart play to have a wrestling promotion on your TV network, and how that can also lend to getting more viewers to your television network, and also to, just in general, like other shows you may have around it, either before or after. The only reason why I say that is because I remember a long time ago with USA, before there was DVRs and shit like that, mm-hmm. us waiting for, Raw to come on, USA strategically, we put certain shows before and certain shows after Raw that really helped to boost that show. And I'll be bold enough to say it, that show probably wouldn't have done great in that time slot after WWE Raw, mm-hmm. During time frames. TNT the same damn way. That's a big plus for that. So I would hope that networks would look at what pro wrestling can bring outside of just their show.
Yeah.
I'm glad that Sin City Steve said what he said, because, for a long time, I know I'd mentioned it before, for me being a black man growing up, telling people I watch pro wrestling, when I was like 7 or 8, I remember someone straight up told me from my own family, that's some white boy shit. And that's the unfortunate side of it, because it's so bigger than that. It's if that's the case, let's look at New Japan. There's a huge, huge history, mm-hmm. that goes on with pro wrestling that goes back well into what, the early 70s?
Yeah, but none of them are black.
Well, I get that part. Thank you, Matt Michaels. You're back, by the way. But I'm saying there's a history, and no one says, what they did in Japan is redneck white Americans wrestling each other. So it's just a certain amount of ignorance of people who want to coin phrase wrestling as just some, no, it's bigger than that. And thank you for WWE for showing that, New Japan and other promotions in Japan showing that pro wrestling is huge. It's bigger than what some small-minded person may think is a white viewership.
Let me ask you, Matt Michaels. I mean, I'm pretty sure you were familiar with Freddie Prinze as, writing for WWE and everything. I mean, we've seen WWE. I mean, even if you go into the 90s and so, we've seen WWE on NBC, Saturday Superstar, Saturday Night Superstar. We've seen, of course, they've been on USA for a long time. But, I mean, he just dropped some knowledge here. Shell Bomb, how bad most TV execs did not want professional wrestling on their channels. I mean, why did they even take the risk of even doing that back in the day? And I mean, and it's been on USA for years. It just almost seemed like that's not the case, but I'm sure Freddie knows what he's talking about.
Well, it's the same reason that network execs don't seem to pick up Freddie Prinze Jr. Sitcoms or television shows anymore. So, here's the thing. And legitimately with that, think about it. Freddie Prinze Jr., he became popular during the Attitude Era. Mm-hmm. By the end of the Attitude Era, Freddie Prinze Jr. decided he might want to go and get a writing job with the WWE, which says that his time was up in terms of popular culture.
Yeah.
And here I thought it was Scooby-Doo that did it for him.
No, Scooby-Doo was pretty much his last successful stuff.
It was the last move I've ever seen him in.
It comes down to a couple factors. What you're saying about Japan, actually, though, the people who watch it here, they're not the network people don't really realize that there's Japanese wrestling.
100%.
You know, it's very, because wrestling in itself is a stigma. What made it even harder is the fact that MMA, being a legitimate shoot fight, mm-hmm. Now the network executives are not very imaginative. All right. Advertisers are not very imaginative. So if you say, hey, we have an idea for selling our product with Hulk Hogan. We want to get some wrestler in like Hulk Hogan or Steve Austin or someone like that. All right. Network executives, ad executives as well, they'll do something very simple. They'll call in a bunch of people who are that type and they'll watch all these auditions. And basically, in the end, they'll go, hey, you know who would be a good Hulk Hogan? Hulk Hogan, let's get him. Right. Mm-hmm. They don't have a lot of imaginativity. What they base everything on is numbers. And so I think that stigma is there to some extent, but it's also translated into dollars. So therefore, the reason that USA works, and honestly, WWE, like I've said before, has no real reason to panic because USA is always going to want them. And mm-hmm. by the way, USA is part of NBC Universal,
right?
Which owns a little network that has a peacock that just gave them billions of fucking dollars to take over their platform.
Well, see, that's the reason why when I read the story, as much as NBC have just been like major players for WWE, and including this huge thing with Peacock, how can you say then that the executives don't really care for wrestling? I mean, they see something there.
You know, it's really strange. It's one of the strangest things because they see money when it's there, and then when it's not there, then all of a sudden they disassociate with it.
Sure.
Can I ask real quick?
Yeah.
I was just more directed towards you. Did you ever maybe sometimes think that not every network knows how to utilize pro wrestling to their advantage? So it's almost a reverse because not everybody can do what USA has done. Not everybody can do what NBC has done. Do you see what I'm saying?
So I think there's a bit of truth to that. I think the greatest example is the fact that when the WWE took the money from the Nashville network and they went over there for that small period of time.
TNN, I think it was.
Yeah, the Nashville Network. So when TNN took that, they were expecting to draw unbelievable numbers because USA was doing it. And unfortunately, they got the product when it was coming on a downswing from the Attitude Era. So their expectations weren't necessarily realistic. They also had just tried ECW. Mm-hmm. And you want to talk about whoever was in charge at that time period, they understood the idea of the money associated with wrestling, but they didn't understand on the concept of how a wrestling program works. So ECW got totally fucked because they didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And then when WWE comes over, it's all their stuff already. They're in place. They're just not bringing that same audience. And USA, it was basically a bill. It was a bid up, you know, hey, you're not going to give us this? Fine. And at that time, the network exec who ran USA, she was the one who basically let them go because she didn't get wrestling. So it filters through. Now, from this point on, I think what we're really getting at here is the end of network television and streaming platforms becoming the big thing. I personally feel that with this Peacock deal, if AEW is forward thinking about this, and because Impact just ran a pay-per-view, you have to think about ROH and Impact and what the actual pay-per-view revenue for them is. Mm-hmm. It's not spectacularly high. And AEW themselves are probably not getting the biggest pay-per-view money that they could, you know, essentially think they're getting. So at what point does AEW reach out to Ring of Honor, reach out to Impact, MLW, NWA, and say, hey,
let's get together.
Come on our streaming network. And what we'll do is we'll cut you a higher percentage that you would be getting from us for having your television programming and your pay-per-views on our streaming service.
Yep. I'm going to tell you right now, if that was like $15 a month, I'll buy it.
Oh, they listen, they can get away with a competitive price. They can undercut the WWE at that. 100%. Right, even $7.99, you know. But I think honestly that Freddie's thinking is the one side of it. Now the other side is to counter that stream, and streaming networks are the big future. And I don't think you're gonna have to worry about network execs in the future not seeing wrestling as a you know, anything but a white trash type of thing. And by the way, the funniest thing about it is that Jerry Springer brought so much fucking money to syndicated television shows by or networks just by the fact that he presented a white trash program that people fucking loved.
Yep.
And that, you know, it was evident in the Attitude Era. And Steve, as I heard you say, you know, Springer is from your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
And he played to the people that he saw that he knew would buy this shit.
Exactly.
So, you know, sometimes you just got to not live in LA and New York.
So true. so true. And by the way, I do have to put out there, obviously, you know, I'm the AEW shill on the show. But I do have to point out that AEW Revolution actually generated more than $6 million in pay-per-view revenue this past week, which for a non-WWE pay-per-view to generate $6 million in pay-per-view revenue is massive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Don't have to do because with Double or Nothing, is that the next one coming up?
Yeah. Yeah.
Make sure shit pop off.
But after the ending, there's a lot of customers want at least $4 million of their return refunds back. So I don't know how they're going to deal with it, but we'll see how that comes about.
Well, well played, Impact. You're good. You're good for a good quip every two or three months. So
I know, Steve, you just saw the little article about Shawn Michaels finally getting the bald headed figure coming out here. But also, if you would have read just a little bit further, the new AEW ring comes with sparklers.
Nice.
Wow.
That's nice.
Pew, pew. All right.
Hey, man. Hey, Impact paid for the bomb. That's officially canon now.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So, I mean, it is what it is.
Right, right. All right, guys, let's jump over to our second count. And this is from WrestlingInc.com. Exclusive, Andrade requests his WWE release. And the story goes that it was reported that WWE superstar Andrade requested his release from the company, detailing that the third generation star requested his release early this week during the Monday Night Raw tapings. It's important to note that at the time of his reporting, his release has not been officially granted. Nonetheless, he has removed the quote WWE end quote from his Twitter handle, further intensifying the story. And then it talks about later in the day who all confirmed the story. Guys, so what's the story with this Andrade? Let me just ask you this. I mean, is this a smart move for Andrade to say, look, I'm done. I haven't been working the last few months. I mean, I don't know what's going on. I was here during COVID. I had a cool storyline. I helped build Angel. I'm doing all of this, and now I'm a ghost. Let me go. I'm out. Peace. Yeah. What's you guys' take on this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Fucking smart. Mm. Because at the end of the day, there's been it's smart because here's the thing. Even if it doesn't go well with WWE, and let's say they disgrant him his release, which I don't think is going to immediately happen because Vince never does that. Vince will say, no, you're going to stay out your remainder of your contract. But let's say in that scenario, AEW would definitely pick him up. Most certainly would pick him up. And then also, too, he's with Charlotte Flair. So there's a buy-in back in anyways. I mean, if I was dating Charlotte Flair, I would do the same thing because I know I could get back unless you really do some fucked up shit. But it's smart for him. You know, I think it's smart. I hope it goes his way.
Just as a follow up, Simon, they actually did deny his release.
Yeah.
Well, I was just saying because Vince never. When has Vince ever granted someone's release when they wanted it?
Only if they are someone like a Sean Spears or somebody that they genuinely have no regard for.
Yeah, okay.
But realistically speaking, I think that if he's not happy, he's not happy. At the end of the day, he has options. You know, you mentioned AEW. I could even see him going to AAA. I could see him going to, hell, New Japan. Or here's another one. Mm-hmm. What about Ring of Honor? Yeah. Andrade founded Los Ingobernables in AAA.
Yeah, I did read that. Yeah.
Okay. He owns Los Ingobernables. So he could join LIJ in New Japan. He could go to Ring of Honor.
Yeah, because I heard
and join up with Facción Los Ingobernables.
I heard Roosh was commenting on his social media like, dude, come through. Yeah. Yeah.
And that honestly, I would be completely on board with that. He also is he's very smart. He has filed a trademark for both La Sombra, which is what he was known as in Mexico when he was under the mask, and he also has trademarked El Idolo, which he obviously used as one of the, you know, his nicknames in WWE.
Yeah.
So he could even go by Andrade if he wanted to, as that is his shoot first name.
Yep.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah. All in all, I mean, realistically, even if, you know, they've decided to deny his request at this time, but that at least lets you know, you know, hey, start doing the digging on when his contract's actually up, because chances are he's not going to re-sign and he will end up going somewhere else.
Yeah.
Big deal.
You don't care, Matt Michaels? Well, you're just like, whatever?
No, let him walk. Mm. Let him walk. And I'll tell you what.
Okay.
So if he goes to AEW, he's not going to I mean, Miro speaks English. And look what they're doing with him, right? So, you know, they've already got Pentagon and Phoenix, which, you know, they've kind of dabbled with, but they don't have, you know, you would definitely need, you know, the announcer to go and become a heel manager at that point and forget announcing. You need someone who would speak English with him. That's the same thing. Now that Vega's out there, you know, you could see potentially them reuniting them, if anything, to give them a mouthpiece. But in all honesty, the WWE has Escobar. Escobar is a better Andrade than Andrade ever was.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't lying.
I would agree. I would agree with that. For what WWE would want Andrade to be, Escobar is better at those things, without a doubt.
Yeah. And then the other thing is that you said, you know, it was mentioned about Angel Garza.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Angel Garza has totally kind of fallen off the favor list. You know, this is the telling thing. I think Andrade could say that he's disgruntled, he wants a release, et cetera, because he is engaged to Charlotte Flair.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He's got kind of protection there.
Right.
Now, if Garza spoke up and said he wanted his release, I would think that they would probably give it to him right away, maybe. But I think he has more potential, again, because he can speak English and he's a little more charismatic. Somehow, between NXT and WWE, he lost the charisma and that confidence that he had in the character.
Mm-hmm.
But even in NXT, I'll tell you, I just was not seeing the potential of being the big time. I agree. Go to Japan, go to AAA, go to Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. That's great. He'll work. If you want to work, you'll work. If you want to continue to get paid what the WWE signed him for, then, hey, man, you signed the contract. You know what the fuck goes on.
Yeah.
If you didn't know what goes on in that company, then you should not be signing a contract. So I personally think that, honestly, if I was them, I'd just let him go. Just let him go instead of having another disgruntled guy on your hands. Let him go.
Well, unless or maybe just give him, start writing him in and get him some work. Apparently he wants to be working. He's not doing anything. You know, I mean, he's on the contract, but he's not. Give him something. But write him in then.
Yeah. But if you do that, then you're taking away effectively the small time you have on television for the people you need to get to these matches.
Yeah.
You know, and the storylines and stuff. If you don't figure in, you don't figure in. And at that point, what you have to do then is, if you, the smartest thing that Apollo Crews did was go to creative and say, hey, I want to try this. And most likely it was probably, hey, I'm going to try this. If you guys let me try this and it works, great. If it doesn't work, then bury me, fucking let me go.
Yeah.
That's fine. But at least I want to try this. If Andrade goes to them and says that and they still don't give him that, opportunity, then it says a lot about just exactly what he means to the company right now.
Sure.
And one thing that I will add, Michaels, because when you kind of said the comment about somewhere between NXT and when he got moved up to the main roster, it seemed like he fizzled out. For me, I remember when he got to the main roster, I believe he was on SmackDown, he was in a back and forth storyline with AJ Styles. That was when the beginning of that fizzling out. For whatever the case may be, I don't know if it's because he was doing that with AJ Styles or what, and which is weird because AJ Styles is one of those people that if you work with him, he'll make you look good, you know. But after that, what he had, that work he had with AJ Styles, it was nothing for him. I don't remember after that, why was it worth kind of seeing him on TV?
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest downfalls, you know, it's funny that we just talked about the network seeing wrestling as white trash, right? One of the downfalls about the WWE is that they don't really utilize the idea that this country is almost a 50% Hispanic country.
Right.
And utilize those guys in top roles because they're still playing towards the white trash crowd. So right. It's kind of ironic mm-hmm. that you have a fall down of old white man syndrome just kind of going down through that whole system. If they were smart and they figured out how to use a guy like that where you can have him speaking Spanish, and that's you could listen, they did it with fucking the Hart Foundation versus, you know, DX, right? Canada, good guys. USA, bad guys. Do the same thing with fucking Mexico.
And also, too, about speaking Spanish and it not having to be such a big deal. Let's be real. Rey Mysterio speaks half of his damn promos in Spanish half the time. Has nobody even figured that shit out? I mean, like when Rey Mysterio usually does his promos, he always will have a couple
lines.
Well, I know, but I'm saying like nobody ever questions that.
Because it's Rey Mysterio. That's another factor, man. If you look at Andrade and you look at Mysterio, one of them has the it factor.
Now, I would definitely agree with that. He has the talent in ring, Andrade, but I don't feel the it factor whenever he comes out there. I'm not going to lie about that. So maybe it would be good for him to be in a faction per se to kind of balance that out maybe.
Or just give him, I mean, listen, you did it with Alberto Del Rio with Ricardo. He was fucking great. And that's one of the reasons Del Rio, even though he can speak English, got over is because you had a secondary guy. So,
yeah.
Okay, nowhere close to 50%. Come on, Glenn. Come on. You know, you're living in the white class world. Sorry, responding to texts I'm seeing.
And I don't see that. What's wrong with my shit?
No, he's just texting.
The text.
Yeah, he sent him a text, not on our chat. Yeah. Glenn needs to get on the chat.
Yeah, I don't have them privileges.
Nah. We'll jump over to our third story, though. This one is from LastWordOrangeSports.com. Which is, and I just actually lost it. Here it is. Dream opponents for Christian Cage in AEW. Now, listen, I'm not going to lie. I saw this. I was like, for real? Dream matches? Okay. Let's go along with it, okay? Orange Cassidy, Hangman Adam Page, The Young Bucks, Jungle Boy, MJF. Is there any match with Christian Cage that when you saw that he got signed with AEW, you was like, oh my God, I can only imagine the dream matches that I'm going to get with him. Which one of these names, if not all of these names, do you actually see this dream match happening with Christian now in AEW?
Wouldn't call them dream matches. I'd call them matches.
Right. Okay. What match will you think?
Does it have to be this list, though? Fudge, man.
No, come up with something, man.
I'll be honest with you. Out of the list, and then I'll add one that nobody thinks about, I would say MJF that would be probably the best. Now, for another match that I'd like to see, because they have some history, I don't know what they would do it, and that would be Jericho. And I remember that time it was
he wasn't on the Dream List.
I know he's not on the Dream List. I just said that's why I'm adding it. I'm saying Chris Jericho.
Go ahead, man.
They had history.
Mm-hmm. They did the Trish Stratus thing.
Everything. So I'm just saying I would like to see that, but, you know, still not dream matches. Sorry, Christian. You're not a dream match type of dude.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, but maybe I'm wrong. I mean, Sid City, am I wrong about this, or you want to let Matt go before you jump in?
No, I'll go. Okay. So the thing is, ultimately, I mean, Christian has, and I mentioned it last week on the show, between he and Edge, Edge had the better look. He was the better promo, but Christian was better in the ring in terms of his actual work rate. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know if I would say necessarily dream matches, but I mean, I would definitely love to see him going up against an MJF, going up against Jungle Boy. I think that, you know, those two immediately jumped off the page to me as in, yes, give me some of those matches, please. Obviously, I really dread them attempting to shoehorn in Christian against the Young Bucks. Who are they going to put with him? Matt Hardy? seriously, like, who are they going to put with him?
Right.
I almost dread seeing that at this point. But yeah, I would be completely good with seeing Adam Page, with seeing MJF, and seeing Jungle Boy get in there with Christian. I think that all three of those guys could have great matches with Christian, and I think Christian could make all three of them look extremely good. Hmm. As he should be putting those three over. So he should not win those feuds if those ever do materialize. He should be used to obviously help younger talent get over.
Yeah. I can just tell you, I'm not sold at all. Matt, what's your take on Christian and possible dream opponents?
My first take is, hey, Michael, this is the editor over at Last Word on Sports. Yeah, I need something by March 12th. I don't know, about 5,000 words. Okay, good. Great. No, that sounds perfect. That's, yeah. Christian Cage, dream matches, perfect. You did it again, brother. You pulled it right out of your ass. Beautiful. Easy. Okay, so the cool thing is that someone on this planet pulled out the idea that Christian Cage is a dream match.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I certainly did not get excited seeing him and Kenny facing off. And right. I think that really, unfortunately to me, so here's Christian, who has been an upper mid carder, to be fair, right? We're not going to call him the draw, but we're not going to call him the curtain jerk. Upper mid carder. Kenny and him in the ring together, I felt that Christian looked more like a wrestler. Just his body, his physique,
yeah,
his presence. Which is, it's because I like Kenny, but it puts you in a bad position when you have someone who just came in, who's, you know, going to be 50 soon, looking more like that presence than your champion. Mm-hmm. I also dread the idea of possibly Christian and Jericho revisiting a feud that happened almost 20 years ago. That's just, and that's the same thing when you said Matt Hardy, put him with Matt Hardy. I dread him going against Matt Hardy.
Oh, Lord. I didn't even think about that shit.
No, not until he said Matt Hardy did I even, like, he didn't even enter my head. Which also is a great parallel. because Matt Hardy and Christian, to me, are the same wrestler.
Yeah.
Right there, upper mid card.
Mm-hmm.
Christian probably had even a little more accomplishments with some more major, you know, champion, world champion type titles than Matt has. Look what they did with Matt.
Yeah.
He just, it never clicked to where you thought it was going to click when they brought him in.
Right.
And if you do this with Christian now, yes, I mean, him working MJF would be great, but it would be more so great because of the fact that Christian can cut a very well thought out promo working off of MJF. MJF at this point as a heel makes anyone fucking look strong because he's so good and he's good in the ring.
Yep.
So that would be a decent path you go down. After that, I don't know what you do with him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, because now here's another thought that do you have him go against the Big Show? it just ravels into this ridiculousness. I think if you really, honestly, the person I see him most potentially gaining the most and becoming a Christian-like person, if he can learn from him, is Sean Spears.
Same thing. Man, that's weird. We thought the same way. That's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough because I think the other thing too is when you come up with this idea of dream matchups, what you create is always something bigger in your mind than what actually ends up happening. And I think the best things are when you see the shout out to Captain Charisma versus Boring Cody Rhodes. There's another one we could possibly see. Oh, man. It's funny, though. That's where your mind goes. It goes to those people. And you just want to see. I want to see them using a guy like that in the sense that you have people that you can not only bring up to his level, but then surpass his level.
Yeah.
And in general, right now, when you look at like his first compare, Orange Cassidy versus Christian.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't work because Orange Cassidy is the laid back dude. Christian Cage is, you know, this intense, you know, he can be funny, right? But at the same time, Christian's aura comes off more than Orange Cassidy's.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe if you wanted Christian to work with him backstage and develop Orange Cassidy outside of this persona that he has, you know, and develop Orange a little bit more, not even on camera, but just working with him, then great. You got an investment in your future, but That's the biggest problem is you get all excited about what these feuds can be, and then you see what ends up happening, and you just kind of go, well, that was a wet fart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That could be our three count, fellas. I think we nailed it out the park. And we want to thank everyone for hanging out with us and listening to our three count. And with that, let's give our final thoughts for the week. Let's start with you, Simon Street. What you want to tell the people?
We usually start with Simon Street, by the way. I just wanted to tell you that. Okay. But anyways, guys, thank you so much for tuning in and, you know, supporting us. We appreciate that. Every supporter, we do feel as you are part of the Vegas Bad Boys family. So when you follow us and you support us, and even better, when you give a donation, we appreciate it because we really are a community, and together as a community, we're that much stronger and we can all spread the word. So thank you so much ahead of time.
No doubt. No doubt. Sin City Steve.
Thank you guys for hanging out with us in the chat. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, all the kind of really cool stuff that you guys do every single week for us. We appreciate you guys. And especially like to give a shout out to every brave man and woman serving this country, lands both foreign and domestic. Thank you for what you do. Also repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and energy, drink, food, all that kind of fun stuff. Needs, REPPsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 15%.
No doubt, no doubt, Matt. Matt Michaels.
You know, something was brought to my attention today that was a very interesting thought. And I think this is something I would like people to really look into doing. In a week or 2 weeks or so, you're going to hear an interview that we did with the young professor who works with Generation Championship Wrestling in Florida. One of the things that hit him recently is with WrestleMania weekend coming up, there's going to be so much going on. And all these independent shows that are running, one of the things we don't know is how many people are actually going to be in Tampa. Mm-hmm. Also, now GCW, Generational Championship Wrestling, Generation Championship Wrestling, they got a bigger space. They're doing a whole day, basically, on the 9th of April. So everything's going to be spread out. It's not going to be, you're not going to have to worry about, you know, people being on top of each other. I'm sure that's going to be like that in most places too, where the attendance is going to have to be scaled back just because of what they want to do to make people feel comfortable. So if people aren't able to get to Tampa, of course that you'll be able to, you know, look into live streaming shows, et cetera. But a percentage of that money goes to either Fight TV or the other streaming services that take that. Mm-hmm. One of his ideas, which is very smart, is look at the shows being offered. And if you can't make it, buy a ticket still. Because that is supporting the local companies, the independent companies across this country who, you know, during this time, being that there was companies couldn't run for months on end.
Right.
And this is a way that you can bring in some revenue and show your support of, you know, all these great independent companies across this country. And even if you're overseas and let's say you usually make it here for Mania, but because of travel issues, you can't, still buy a ticket to, you know, this show or that show, because if it costs you $10, $20, you're at least doing something.
Yeah.
Just to support. So, you know, continued support of independent wrestling at this time is very important.
Absolutely.
And, it's a lot of money to put on these shows as listen, we're a podcast and we have to try to figure out financially how to make things happen. Imagine us putting on a wrestling show. Oh shit. I shouldn't have said it. I think we're going to get a text. Guys, I have a great idea.
Well, if that happens, Matt Michaels, you will be returning to the ring.
Anyway. Well, you know what? If I have to return to the ring, there's only one guy I want to face, and that is that bastard Glenn King. Because you saw him at FSW and the shit he tried to pull with Jimmy Wang Yang. Oh my God, that guy needs to go down.
I'll pay to see that match. I'll be in your corner, but just in your corner.
Good stuff, guys. Hey, everyone, thank you for listening to us. We do this because we enjoy it, and we hope you enjoy it too. We'll see you back next week with more craziness, and we'll see you then. Peace.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.